Hello.
Hi.
Welcome to Drinking the Kool-Aid.
Welcome.
I'm your host, Megan.
I'm Hannah.
And today we have a story from Hawaii.
Oh, shit, yeah.
Yeah.
I kind of wish I was there right now because it is cold.
Super duper cold in Minnesota. So not a fan. Cold.
So cold.
I've never been to Hawaii, but I'm sure it's amazing.
I bet it's better than here.
Most places are.
That's a good point. You're not wrong.
Yeah. All right. So I am going to say everything correctly.
Okay. Because I believe that.
Actually, all right. So I had to look up a bunch of words in this story and practice them.
Oh, you actually practiced them?
I did, for
That's
sure.
Amazing.
I wanted to say things correctly. So if something comes out wrong, I'm sorry, but I tried and practiced and I was like walking around the basement repeating the words to myself.
I do feel like an asshole when I say things wrong, but I literally will like Google how to say it and I still won't be able to say it. So.
Oh, okay then.
At least one of us can.
Okay, so our story starts out with 19-year-old Lisa Au. She was a hairdresser. When her body was discovered, it sent fear and shockwaves through the community. Not just because she had been murdered, but because a policeman was the suspected killer.
Whoops.
This story starts on January 20th, 1982. It was pouring. Oh, my God. Cut that out. It wasn't pouring. I'm going to say everything right.
Oh, no.
It was pouring rain in Oahu, and Lisa was just finishing her shift at the Susan Beers Salon in Kalua. As she headed out the door, she told her coworkers that she was going to go see her boyfriend, Doug Holmes, at his sister's apartment in Makiki. Lisa had only just gotten her license and had it for 2 days. So the rain obviously wasn't making it very easy to drive. She made a quick stop to purchase poke, which is a traditional Hawaiian dish with raw, diced, seasoned fish.
Oh.
Yeah, not for us Minnesotans. After dinner, Lisa headed back to Kailua, but she never got there. On the following day, Lisa's parents called her boyfriend at his University of Hawaii dorm to ask where she was. He told them that he would just go out and look for her, and he's actually the one that ended up calling the police to report that he found her car. Lisa's 1976 Toyota was parked on the shoulder of the highway in Manawili, near the old Kailua drive-in.
Oh my God, I'm just loving this because I love all this stuff, like the names for Hawaii.
It's so cool.
It makes me so happy.
Yeah. The driver's side window was rolled down halfway. When the officer arrived on the scene, it was noted that there was about 2 to 3 inches of water on the floor of the vehicle, and the seat was soaked. Lisa's purse was sitting on the seat, and it was completely dry.
What?
The officer felt like this had to have just been placed on the seat after the rain had stopped the night before. He also reported that he saw scratches on the boyfriend Doug's face. It was determined by crime scene technicians that the car had been wiped clean of any evidence. The police brought Doug in for a lie detector test, and he failed both tests. He had an explanation for this, though. He said he felt guilty for not driving Lisa home, and that's why he failed. She was an inexperienced driver, and the rain was very heavy. The detectives accepted that explanation. This was good enough for them, and they didn't feel that they had any other reason to suspect Doug. Like, not even for the scratches on his face.
Okay, all right, whatever.
Now, I do want to mention that I honestly do not believe in lie detector tests because obviously innocent people can fail, guilty people can pass. It happens all the time.
I would fail just because I was nervous to do it.
Right?
I'd be, like, freaking the fuck out the whole time.
Yeah, and I mean, if you move, it can skew the results. Like, there's all sorts of stuff. And I just find it odd that he was so easily dismissed as a suspect when Doug was the last person to see Lisa alive. But people in the community were very hopeful that Lisa would be found alive. Thousands of flyers were distributed all over the island, and hundreds of volunteers showed up to help search. The search lasted 10 days. On January 31st, 1982, Lisa's nude and decomposing body was discovered in a ravine off Tantalus Drive, discovered by a jogger and his dog. The case moved from the missing persons unit to homicide detectives, and the Honolulu Police Department's Bert Corneal was the lieutenant that was assigned to the case. Just days after Lisa's body was found, detectives began suspecting one of their own was involved, and the theory got leaked to the public, which caused a full-blown panic. Women were terrified if an officer pulled them over and feared they'd be attacked too. There was also a tip called into the police that began fitting their theory. They were told that on the night of Lisa's disappearance, they had seen her car being followed by another car with flashing blue grill lights on. For about a year, an investigative grand jury heard evidence against the officer suspected in the case, but they didn't have enough to indict. Lieutenant Corneal felt that they were just jumping at any clue that pointed to the officer's involvement, and they were just wasting time trying to make the pieces fit. Lisa's temporary license was missing from her purse, and her car window was rolled halfway down. So the detectives believed that this might have meant Lisa was pulled over, rolled down her window, handed her ID to an officer. Yeah. So that's kind of where that theory came up.
Oh.
Once the suspected officer's name was leaked, another woman claimed she had been pulled over by the officer and he used blue lights on his unmarked car.
I hate that.
Yeah, I'm not all about that at all. After this new allegation, the department had to do a lot of damage control. They attempted to reassure women that they did not need to stop for an unmarked police car, and eventually, they had to ban flashing lights on car grills altogether. They also made it a rule that off-duty officers were no longer allowed to stop any vehicles.
All right, I can get behind that.
Yeah, me too. At this point, the investigators were completely focused on the suspected police officer, and the main evidence they had was that he lived near Lisa's home, and there was a sexual harassment complaint against him from a woman that did a police ride-along. When the grand jury failed to indict the officer, it ended up exposing all their mistakes that were made in the case, and the prosecutors didn't want to try again.
Oh, it's like, we're done.
Well, at least for the officer, because why would you? They didn't have anything.
Yep. Oh, no, he lives close, though.
Well, must be him. Lieutenant Corneal wanted to find answers for the family, and this is the case that just haunted him. He decided to go back and interview witnesses that the detectives ignored or flat refused to track down.
Go this dude.
Right? I know, I like him so much. Even though many people firmly believed a cop killed Lisa, the lieutenant found evidence that pointed in a different direction. The missing driver's license was a key part in the killer cop theory, but it was later discovered. Lieutenant Corneal found it months later after retracing Lisa's movements. After she left the hair salon that day, she stopped by to pick up some poke and showed her ID at the checkout because she wrote a check for the payment. And Lisa left her ID at the store.
I've definitely done that before.
Right? And to not figure that out when you're pinning your whole case on that is...
Right.
Whoa, man.
But also, why the heck didn't the store person be like, yo, homies, I know that there's 100 people out searching for our body, but we have her ID?
True. Yeah, no, I agree. I have no idea what happened to the ID. I know at previous stores I've worked at, if someone leaves an ID, you honestly just toss it in a safe. So if they never looked and realized that it was her, that could have been what happened.
I mean, I guess, yeah. I just feel like that's a really long time to have it. And, like, nobody connected the dots.
When I worked at Office Max, we had a stack of IDs and credit cards that would just sit around. And then eventually it would be shredded. Yeah, people never came back for them.
That's so weird. When I lose anything, I'm, like, calling every damn store I went to.
Yeah. Now, like I said earlier, Lisa headed to her boyfriend Doug's sister's apartment after work.
Doug's sister's apartment.
Yes.
Got it.
That was a mouthful. The lieutenant tracked down a security guard that worked at the McKeeke apartment building. The security guard, Thomas Thornburg, had never been contacted by the police until this point.
What the hell?
Yeah. And he said that he saw Lisa and Doug. They were arguing around 11 p.m. And then about an hour later, Lisa left and Doug drove off after her. Doug later explained this away by stating that he left at the same time so that he could just drive back to his dorm.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure that's exactly what happened after the argument.
Right. The lieutenant found another interesting witness. Charlotte Kamaka was a newspaper delivery driver, and she later testified before a grand jury. She was on Tantalus during the hours after Lisa went missing. She said she was out doing her regular route about 2:30 a.m. She said,
roundabout. Sorry.
She said a man drove past her in a blue car with a female passenger, and she appeared to be asleep or unconscious. She said, quote, what alerted me was her head fell. When the car made the turn, her head just fell.
Oh, and she didn't, like, jolt awake.
Yeah, exactly. Charlotte says she got a good look at the driver as he turned in the paved lookout. She said that later she saw the driver and he just stopped and stared at her.
No, 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 no.
And the female passenger was gone.
What the fuck?
Charlotte heard about Lisa's body being discovered in the same area 10 days later, and she went straight to the police station so that she could report this.
Good job.
Well, yeah, good job for her, but not good job for the detectives.
No, but good job for her. So, because thank God that they, like, you know, there's somebody out there that actually goes straight to the freaking police with the info they have.
Right? Yeah, and they don't just wait around?
Yeah.
Okay, well, she gets there, and they pretty much take down her information, and they get, like, her phone number and everything. She never got a call back.
But then some police suck, too.
Okay. Well, another interesting thing about the case is that Lisa's car broke down in Manawili near a mudslide on the night of her murder. An officer, Michael Refelt, was directing traffic in the area, and he does not recall a Toyota being there. Months later, he was asked to tell the grand jury that he did see the car there, and to report that he saw a patrol officer at the car as well.
Uh-oh.
Now, this officer said he refused to lie, and he did not testify.
Good. Don't be a dirty birdie.
A dirty birdie. I like that, but usually I use that in a different way. Like when people be sleeping around, that's a dirty bird.
Dirty birdie.
In 1985, the lead detective on the case, Nelson Lum, wrote a sworn statement about his investigation and basically said that their thorough investigation produced no evidence against the accused police officer. He also didn't believe that the boyfriend Doug had anything to do with the murder because, quote, there was no third party involved, which ruled out jealousy. There was no money involved. There was no baby coming. There was no reason for him to do it. End quote. Doug had admitted that he was trying to end the relationship with Lisa because he was going to college and trying to get somewhere in his life, and he felt that Lisa was just kind of staying still.
And just for the record, murderers don't need a fucking reason to murder.
No, but doesn't that last sentence almost give a motive?
Right.
He's trying to get away. So there you go. More than a year after Lisa's murder, her body was exhumed. The police knew they needed to get the cause of death. So they took her skull and jawbone and they sent it to a coroner in Los Angeles. By this time, Lieutenant Corneal had left the police department and was working as a private investigator for the Owl family. He believed that the Honolulu coroner had missed key evidence during the autopsy and didn't do a thorough job, and boy, was he right. Once the body was actually exhumed, they learned that Lisa's remains were still in the police body bag.
And, what?
Yeah, and there were leaves and dirt inside.
The frick?
She was never washed.
Oh my God.
Yeah, and I seriously found that to be so incredibly disrespectful.
I hate that.
Yeah, so much.
What the fuck?
Now, unfortunately, the advanced decomposition made it really difficult for the new coroner to determine the cause of death. There was another person that said, hey, I'd be willing to take a look at Lisa's skull to see if I can find anything. But now there was a problem. There seems to be some dispute about where the skull and jawbone are.
Wait, what?
Okay.
Is it like...
So, the Honolulu police say that the medical examiner's office has the remains, but they say, no way, Jose, they were returned to the casket.
So, you mean like, okay. Oh,
they don't know
God.
Where it is. Yeah. So, they lost her skull,
what is
potentially.
With them losing things and just...
Why is this coming up in so many of
Holy
our stories?
Shit.
This makes me scared.
It makes me just go back to them losing a whole ass fucking vehicle.
Yes. Well,
how do you just misplace freaking bones? Like,
I have no idea.
Oh, whoops. I left them over here on this table next to these three sets of bones. Like, what?
Right.
How do you lose that?
Yeah, like, this is a murder investigation.
I don't
and
get it.
Not only was she not washed and properly taken care of, but now...
pieces of her are lost.
Yeah, we just lose her.
Oh my God.
Like, she's getting zero respect in this. Lisa's family has asked that her remains be exhumed and re-examined. They believe that the advanced technology could help to determine the cause of death. Unfortunately, from all of this stress, Lisa's parents ended up divorcing and they have both passed away.
Aww.
Many of the witnesses from the case have also passed away, but people are still clinging to hope that this is going to get solved. So, if you have any new information regarding the Lisa Owl murder case, please contact the Honolulu Police Department at 808-723-3609, and I will put that on Facebook too.
Oh my God, I need you to hit me with, like, a completely solved case soon, because these unsolved ones are killing me.
I don't know how I ended up getting a whole collection of unsolved. It was never meant to be that way, honestly. They just keep coming my way.
I need, like, a good solved case soon.
I got some good things coming towards you.
Oh, you better.
Yeah, so lots of creepy things that you'll be into.
You get me.
Yay! You're a creep.
Yeah.
You're a creep. I'm a creep.
So are you. I was going to say, get out of here, man. You're in this with me.
Yeah, okay. I'm a weirdo.
Oh, okay.
What the hell am I doing here?
Oh, my. Nope. I'm going to choose to ignore that.
Well, as always, when we say something really stupid, it's time to wrap it up.
Uh-huh. That's about time to cut us off.
Yep. So, make sure to like us on Facebook. Also, just throwing it out there, we have an Instagram and a Twitter. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, yeah. Listen to that.
I've been secretly starting the accounts and using them for a couple weeks to make sure that I can handle it before I say it. I don't understand that's social wonderful. Medias.
No, that's amazing. I love it.
So I have them. I don't really know how to use them very well.
Well, that's okay.
But I make posts. I tweet.
You're a tweeter?
I'm a tweeter.
I can't believe you're a tweeter.
Yeah, what am I on Instagram? I'm a grammar. I don't know. Is there a thing for it? And at my age, am I supposed to say Instagram or Insta?
I think you're supposed to say Insta.
Oh, okay.
Oh, wait, maybe that's just when you're typing it. I don't really know because I don't use Instagram.
Okay.
I mean, Insta.
Is Facebook still Facebook?
Facebook is definitely still Facebook.
Okay, well, find us on all those things if you can.
All the ones we just talked about.
Okay. give us a 5-star review if you love us. Tell your friends, tell your cats. Bye.